Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Expectation versus reality. That's a bit of a popular meme that's around, where it compares exactly what it says. Your expectations of something on one hand versus the other hand, the reality of what it actually is. I experienced that comparison a few times over the course of my vicar year last year. When was the last time you felt a stark difference between your expectations of something and the reality of what it actually was? Our expectations can sometimes ruin the reality of what something is. We hype something up so much that we really make it impossible for it to meet our specific expectations. Such is the case with Jesus Christ, our King. As we consider the festival of Christ the King, we might wonder why today's gospel reading is the appointed reading. It really doesn't look like Christ is a king here. In fact, the whole narrative is about Jesus being dressed up as some kind of a parody of a king and being mocked for how unkingly he looks. But this is because our expectations don't match reality. Jesus is not an earthly king. He is like no other king because he can do what no other king can. He alone can give us a kingdom that is far superior to any that is found here on earth. So worship the unearthly king. Despite Christianity long celebrating and acknowledging Christ as king over all creation, this specific festival Sunday of Christ the King is actually a relatively new one. It came about in the 1920s, and it was done very intentionally by the Roman Catholic Church for very Roman Catholic reasons. You see, the papacy had been losing its political power for centuries. What happened in the early 1800s was something that you can describe much of that century for Europe. Napoleon happened. At this time, the Italian peninsula was made up of a bunch of disunited and independent states, one of which was the Papal States, a band of territory across Italy, across central Italy, which was under direct political rule of the Pope, and it included the city of Rome. Napoleon Bonaparte, in his conquests, had conquered the Papal States, and though it was revived after his defeat by the other European powers, Napoleon had spread the idea of nationalism to the divided Italian people. So now they wanted to unify the entire Italian peninsula under one government. Eventually, over the decades, by 1860, the Italians had unified all of the Italian peninsula except for the city of Rome and some of the territory around it. Napoleon Bonaparte's nephew, Napoleon III of France, had stationed troops in Rome to protect the last remaining bit of papal territory. But then Napoleon III decided to fight Prussia, and so he withdrew his troops for the war. The city was now undefended, and the Italians were now able to take it. The Pope ranted and raved to the armies outside of Rome, desperately trying to cling to his last bit of political rule. He declared that anyone who ordered an attack on Rome would be excommunicated. Straight to hell if you order the attack. This deeply worried the very Catholic Italian population So the army found a Jewish soldier, put him in charge, and had him order the attack. Because you can't excommunicate someone who's not a Christian. The city of Rome was taken, and it was made Italy's new capital, and the Pope had finally lost his last bit of political power. A few decades later, he was forced to accept the Lateran Accords, which confined his rule just to the building of the Vatican. In the 1920s, when this was all being finalized, they came up with the festival of Christ the King. Because even if we've lost all of our political power, Christ is still king over all. Yes, Christ is king of all. But today's gospel reading makes quite clear that his kingship is far different from any other king's. Soldiers are supposed to follow the commands of a king, not dress him up like a mockery of a king. That image of Jesus is supposed to be a mockery of what an earthly king looks like. Instead of a crown of gold, a crown of thorns lacerating his head. Instead of an elegant scepter, a staff. Instead of a royal robe, an imitation. Perhaps we shouldn't dismiss this festival as a papist cope for losing their political power. Perhaps we should take a close look at it and consider that perhaps we can find ourselves in the same shoes. Do we often try to cling to earthly power? Do we so lament the loss of Christian influence on our culture and our nation? Do we think that earthly expectations dismiss the heavenly reality that Christ is king over all? Do we try to dress Jesus up as some kind of a parody of an earthly king, trying to make him something that he is not? The thing is, that's the good news, that he isn't like an earthly king. He's a heavenly king. His kingdom is not of this world. His kingdom is far greater. His kingdom comes to bring us something better than the earthly kingdoms we try to set up. His kingdom comes to bring us forgiveness and mercy. His kingdom comes to deliver us from evil, to forgive us our sins. Yes, even when we mock Christ by dressing him up as an earthly king, he forgives that too. That's why he allowed the Roman soldiers to dress him up like that, to forgive us. Worship the unearthly king, because he is like no other. He is far greater, because he can do what no earthly king can. When you look at what Christ did on Good Friday, you certainly do not associate that with what happens to a king. After the soldiers dress him up as a parody of a king, they get tired of mocking him and simply decide to start beating him instead. What kind of a king is that? What king does that? He lets himself be a punching bag for some bored soldiers? And then he lets himself be carried away to suffer a brutal, torturous death? Yes. That's exactly what a king does. That's exactly what a heavenly king does. He's doing what no earthly king can. He's winning a war that no earthly king can. He's defeating an enemy that no earthly king can. He's defeating death. He's defeating sin. our sin. You were under the thumb of a brutal enemy. You were under the control of sin and in the kingdom of death. You were the one who deserved that mockery and shame that Jesus suffered. Every strike of the whip, every word of mockery, every spit, every strike, and finally being led away to a brutal and painful death, that was what should have happened to you. You were the one who failed to do everything God commanded. You were the one who failed to love him with all your heart. You were the one who failed to love your neighbor as yourself, not Jesus. Every day, you were the one who lived in constant rebellion against your king. Every day, you lived hating his subjects. Nothing good lived in you. Your sin is the reason that the sinless Son of God, the King of all creation, is mocked, shamed, beaten, tortured, and killed. But what grace is this? The sinless Son of God, the King of all creation, is mocked, shamed, beaten, tortured, and killed for your sin. Jesus didn't have to let that happen to him. Your sin didn't force Jesus to go through that. He did it willingly because he loves you. That's something that no other king can do. What king can carry the weight of all mankind's sin? What king can show such love to suffer eternal damnation for each person who has ever and will ever live? For you and for me. What king can claim victory over death itself? What king lives and rules forever? No king but Christ, the risen king, does. What king can give you that same resurrection from the dead and give you that same life immortal? Only Christ, the risen King, can. What king, after suffering and dying for you, then washes you clean in a precious water of life, making you a part of his kingdom? What king, after sacrificing his body and shedding his blood, then gives you that body and blood in a holy meal to forgive you all of your sins and reunite you to him? Only Christ the King does, whose kingdom is not of this earth. That, my brothers and sisters, is something that is truly worthy of worship. Worship Christ the King. Christ the unearthly King. The world has its expectations of what a king should be like. But all of these expectations fade and perish before the reality of Christ, the King. No earthly king can compare. No earthly king can do what he can. No earthly king can be like his heavenly kingdom. The heavenly reality is far greater than the earthly expectations. Only King Jesus Christ has the power to break the chains of sin and death and set us free to serve in his glorious kingdom. Only his kingdom is eternal. So worship the unearthly king. The king who even death itself cannot defeat. Long live Christ the King. Amen.